thank you for everything you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for music. I thank you, Lord, for singing. Thank you for praise, for worship, for that gift to help us work our way through what you've called us to go through. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you this morning. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Thanks, guys. Praise God. I brought sunglasses this morning. I figured, just in case that thing is bright, I can wear these. But unfortunately, I can't see my notes. So, oh well. Praise God. God is so good. The pastor last week spoke about Peter walking on the water, Peter getting out of the boat. And the Lord spoke to me last Sunday about something that I shared with Pastor. And I'm going to share with you something about storms. I went home and I studied storms. I looked up storms. I didn't do an exhaustive, because I didn't go through all the word waves, and I didn't go through all the word, you know, winds and contrary winds. But I went through storms. If we're alive, we've gone through storms. If we're alive, we're going to go through storms. It is a part of being alive. It is a part of something that happens to us, something that we do to ourselves, something that God does to us. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about storms. And Father, I pray that I would say only what you want said, that if I'm going to say something that you don't want spoken, that you would stop me. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Storms have a tremendous power for destruction. I don't think any of us doubt that. We've seen plow winds go through our area and take out, you know, a whole, you know, you can make a highway through that forest when it's done. Unfortunately, the Department of Highways hasn't figured out how to use that to their advantage yet. We have seen tornadoes come down. We don't have the Kansas tornadoes where it takes out cities, but we've seen them come down and take out farms. We don't have the tidal waves and the earthquakes that other parts of the area do, and those are kind of more disasters than storms. But storms have a tremendous ability to wreak havoc. But you know what? When a storm goes through and it takes things apart, if we're smart, we will find out how to make it better so that the next time the storm comes, it doesn't blow so hard, it doesn't wreak so much havoc and damage. People in the West Coast, you know, from I think the Yukon all the way down to Mexico, have figured out how to make buildings that don't collapse in an earthquake, or at least in a minor earthquake. And the storms that have gone through those places, because of those storms, those areas are better. Those areas are safer. The people or the areas that don't learn from the storm, if they survive the first one, will be demolished by the second. So storms have a tremendous power to wreak havoc, but they have also, if we use them right, they have the power to make things better. If you could turn to Psalm 55 with me, I'm in the NIV. For the guys on the media. Psalm 55 goes through the causes, actually, four different causes of storms. And I just want to go through that and share that with you. Verse 1. Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my plea. Oh, this isn't the four storms. That's coming. This is David going through a storm. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea, and hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, for I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest, that I would flee far away and stay in the deserts. I would hurry to my place, hurry to my place of shelter, for far from the tempest and David just wants to run from the storm. He just wants to be out of there. He just wants to be in a place where he doesn't have to contend with it. And I know how he feels. I have been through storms that I have wanted to run away from. I have been through storms at work that I've wanted to run away from. And I've been through storms in my personal life that I've wanted to run away from. So I know how David feels. And I am pretty sure that all of you know how David feels. We've all been through storms and we're all here. So which means we've all stuck through the storms. And God has made us better for it. But during those storms, all we want to do is run. All we want to do is get away from them. And that is human nature. David felt that way. Verse 12, if an enemy was insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe was raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked in the throng of the house of God. David's friend turned on him. I don't know whose friend this is. I suppose if I studied a little further, I could have found out, but it really doesn't matter. Somebody who walked with David, who David shared his feelings with. When David went through previous storms, he would share them with him, be encouraged by this guy. And suddenly this guy's turned against him. And that's not a fun storm to be in. I don't know if all of you have been there. If you've had close friends turn against you, it's not a fun place to be. But this is what David did. Keep reading on through the psalm. My problem is my Bible has smaller words than I can read. See, when I sit on my couch, I hold it close, right? When I'm standing up here, it's far away. Verse 16, but I called to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. At the very end of the psalm, verse 22, he says, cast your cares on the Lord, for he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And the last, at the very end, he says, but as for me, I trust in you. So David, at this psalm, when he wrote this, is going through a time of betrayal. Somebody betrayed him, and it hurt him deeply. It was something he didn't want to deal with. It was something he wanted to run away from. But instead of running away, he ran to. And he ran to God. He ran to the Lord. And he put his cares, all his hurt, he placed it, he gave it to God. As for me, I trust in you. It's sometimes not an easy thing to give your cares to the Lord. Because sometimes your cares are born out of experiences in the past, and they are deeply, deeply hidden in your heart. And sometimes the storms will bring out what's in your heart, and you need to deal with it to get through that storm. And it's sometimes not an easy thing. And you need to go to God and not go to the storm. When you're awake at 3:00 in the morning because this storm is raging and you can't sleep, the place to go is to the Word and to the Lord, not to lay on the bed or on the couch in the living room where I lay and go over and over and over it in your head. Because for some reason, and I don't know why, at 3 a.m, it's always way worse than at 8 a.m. And I don't know why that is. Maybe someday I will. But it is never as bad at 3 a.m. as you think it is. And the more you mull over it, you're going to just stay awake all the way until the sun comes up. So we really need to do what David did. We need to go to God. Psalm 107. This lists four reasons why a storm, why you will find yourself in a storm. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the land of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and the south. Some people wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. These people found themselves in a desert. And if we have walked with the Lord for probably more than 2 or 3 years, we have found ourselves in desert places. In desert places where suddenly, for some reason, God just doesn't feel as real as he did when we first got saved. And that is a storm. It is a storm that we go through. It is not anything you did to create that storm. It is a storm sometimes that we go through in the wasteland and we don't hear from God. Verse 6. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. He let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The people, if you're in a desert right now, if you haven't heard God for a while, if the Bible hasn't jumped alive at you for a while, it's quite possible that it's nothing that you did. It's a storm. It's just something you're walking through. Jesus spent his time in the desert. We spend our times in the desert. And it's not anything of our fault. It's not anything you did. It's not anything that's wrong. We just end up going through those sometimes. The second one, in verse 10, some sat in the darkness and the deepest gloom. Prisoners suffering in iron and chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor, and they stumbled, and there was no help. If you rebel against the words of the Lord, if you rebel against God, then there is a storm that you will bring upon yourself. And it talks about the deepest gloom. To me, that talks about an area of depression. If you're going through a storm and you're just depressed all the time and you just can't seem to get yourself up. If you despised the counsel of the Most High, basically, if you were given some godly advice and you did not heed that godly advice, then these people find themselves in a storm. I have had godly advice and I have not heeded it because basically I didn't recognize the advice as coming from God. And so I thought, well, I can do what I want here and I'll just want to do this over here instead of what my godly advice has to do over there. And I find myself in a storm. The good news is, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, verse 13. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and out of the gloom, and he broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. If you are at this place, if there has been some godly advice that you have not heeded and you have found yourself in a storm as a result of it, just cry out to the Lord. Joan said earlier today, you know, it's not a big deal when we sin. God knew we were going to do that. He made a way for it. He came and he died so that there would be a way for us to go back to him. If we have not heeded some godly advice that we've given, we find ourselves in this storm, God doesn't hate you for it. You know what? God is so willing to pull you out of the storm. If you go to him and you cry out to him, he'll take you out of the storm. The third one, verse 17. Some people became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed the food, drew near the gates of death. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. Sometimes storms come because you just plain decide you're not going to live a godly life. You just, for whatever reason, some people just decide they're going to see what the other side of the world looks like. The dark side. And I did that as well. I did that when I was 14. I got saved in a Baptist church when I was 13. My mom and dad decided to move from Lethbridge to Saskatoon when I was 14. And I was not a happy camper. And I made a conscious decision. In fact, I told God, I said, fine, if you're going to bring me here, I'm leaving. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And I made that conscious decision to do that. That conscious decision led me to the gloom I was talking about earlier. And I did go through a time of depression, which I have shared and which I won't go into now. But you know what? When I cried out to God, he was there. And he brought me out of that. And he led me to a point and led me to a revelation where it did not matter how I felt, I was saved. Because I got to the point where, because I was depressed a lot of the time, I figured that God really didn't care. But God didn't leave me in that spot. He brought me to a place, and he arranged some certain circumstances which ended me up in a place where somebody showed me in the Word that it doesn't matter how I feel, God is still God, and God still loves me. And so if you've done that, if you've gotten yourself in a storm because you have consciously decided that I don't care about godly principles, I'm just going to do what I want, and I really don't give a rip what God says, you'll find yourself in a storm. Verse 19, but they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He set forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deed for men. Let them sacrifice and thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. It doesn't matter what storm you're in, there's an end to it. If you cry out to the Lord, there's an end to it. And the last one, and this is the one I want to spend the most time on, is verse 23. Others went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. These are people who are going on their way, going about their business, knowing God, loving God, recognizing God. And then he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. This storm, these people did nothing to deserve this storm. These people were going about their business. They were doing what God told them to do. They were loving the Lord. They were noticing the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. And they found themselves in a storm. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, verse 28, and he brought them out of their distress. And the rest of the psalm, it's about 20 verses, talks about what God did for those people when he brought them out of the storm. These are people who did nothing to get into the storm. It came. He stilled the storm with a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them to their desired haven. He let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people. God guided these people to where they wanted to be. He guided them to the safe haven. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Verse 33, he turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs to thirsty ground, fruitful land to a salt waste. And the Lord, told these people out of a storm that they did not create. It was a storm that was there. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, is the story about Peter walking on the water. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. It's interesting here, the pastor mentioned last week that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him. So I looked up that word made, and it means he forced them into the boat. They did not want to go. These guys, not all of them, but over half of them were seasoned fishermen, and they could look on the horizon and they saw that storm coming. And this is right after Jesus fed the 5,000. And he says, get in the boat, go that way, into the storm. And I'm pretty sure these guys could see that storm coming. They did not want to go into that storm. But Jesus put them right in the middle of that storm. Jesus put them in that storm on purpose. He made them go. And I, knowing human nature, the Bible doesn't say this, but knowing human nature, I suspect that they were pretty mad about this because Jesus didn't go with them. He went up on the hill to a nice dry place and went to pray. And he prayed all night. But he didn't tell the disciples he was going to pray all night. He just told them to hit the storm, and then Jesus left them in the storm by themselves. And I think that's really significant because God put them in that storm. There wasn't any chance of those guys drowning because God put them there. There wasn't any chance, but they didn't know that, of course, because instead of knowing who God is, they're a little upset. And when Jesus walked to them on the water, it was between 3 and 6 in the morning. So these guys have been fighting these waves for probably 10 hours before Jesus comes and calms the storm for them. Is it possible maybe that 11 of them did not walk on the water because 11 of them were mad at Jesus and offended at him? Do you think? Is it, you know, possible that Peter was the only one who really wasn't furious about the whole thing? And so he was the one that got to see the miracle? And he was the one that walked through the miracle? Now, they were all there when Jesus calmed the wave. They all made it through the storm. But one of the 12 had a little extra when he got through that storm. And that to me is so significant. Jesus put them in that storm. There is so many times that we are in a storm, not of our own making, but just because God put you there. God calls you somewhere, and God calls you to do something. And when God calls us to do something and we say yes and we step into it, we are so excited because it's something new that God is calling us to do. But if it's of anything of consequence at all, there's a storm in there somewhere. Not because you did something wrong, but because you did something right. No, I'm not saying that the devil is throwing a storm against you, because many times I don't think that happens. I think God puts you in that storm. A storm does come, and you have to walk through that storm, but God put you in that storm. There is no chance of you dying in that storm if you keep your eyes on Jesus. Like I said at the beginning, storms have a destructive quality. They can tear you apart. But if you make it through the storm, you will be so much better. You will be so much better. That saying that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, I think is applicable here. If the storm doesn't take you out, you will become stronger. And whether the storm takes you out or not is 100% up to you. If God puts you in a storm, whether it takes you out or not is 100% dependent on how you react to the storm.
That's right.
It is. And we get so discouraged. That gloom that David talked about will come on us in the middle of a storm. And we will get discouraged and we will want to bail. We will want to fly to a safe haven just like David did. But flying to a safe haven is at this point probably not what God wants. If he put you in that storm, he put you there for a reason. And I want to go through maybe the Bible, some of the reasons. Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. I'll wait for the media guys because I can read that. The day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, and they said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The disciples completely missed the point here. They were absolutely amazed and awed at the miracle that got them out of their storm. They completely missed the point when Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith?" Because they're in the storm, and this time Jesus is in the boat with them, and they think they're going to drown. But Jesus is with them the whole time. "Why are you so afraid? Why do you think this storm is going to take you down? I am with you. We will make it through," is what Jesus is trying to tell these guys. But they were completely awestruck at the miracle. The guys missed the point. But you know what? They did learn something, I believe. See, Jesus had 3 years with these guys, and then he's going to be gone. And these people were going to face a lot more trials and storms than these waves and these boats. And Jesus had to get these guys to a point where they knew how to walk through a storm. And so Jesus put them in that storm so they could learn how to get through the storm. So when he was gone and the Holy Spirit came, they could do what God had wanted them to do. So God will put you in a storm not to teach you something, but to create something inside of you. You know what? God doesn't put you in a storm. God doesn't give you sickness so that he can teach you something. Okay, this is not what I'm saying. God, he will create something in you through a storm, but there's no, like, sickness, there isn't any sickness in God, right? It's not God's will for you to be sick. I think it is God's will for you to be in a storm and to work through that storm. And there's kind of a fine line there, you know. But there isn't any sickness in God. And please don't think that's what I'm trying to say. There isn't any lack in God. That's not what I'm trying to say. But sometimes those are the storms we go through on the way to getting to where God wants us to be. Job went through that storm. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 6. Just a few more scriptures here and then. And I'm reading these to you and not just telling you about them so that you believe me that they're there. You know, I pastored a church for a while. And I was praying one day and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "When you preach, you need to read the verses out of the Bible, because for most people, that's the only time they ever open it. And don't just say that it says there, actually read it to them." And I got in that habit, and it's just kind of what I do. And I'm not saying you guys are like that, because it wasn't here I pastored, okay? James chapter 1, verse 2. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It'll be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." Can you go back to verse 2? "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds," verse 3, "because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance," verse 4, Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. That's the purpose of the storm. The purpose of the storm is to make you mature and complete and not lacking anything. We grow through these storms. We don't grow when everything is kind, when everything is fun and everything is going really good and everything is fantastic. We don't grow during those times. I wish it wasn't that way. I really do, because the storms are not fun, and I know they're not fun, but there's a purpose for them, that we may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There's perseverance again. Perseverance produces hope or character. Character produces hope. Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. There's a reason. The perseverance creates character. Character. After that comes hope. And hope is what gets us through. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I have always had trouble with these verses because to me, it seemed like it was saying when times are hard, rejoice, whoopee, it'll be fun when it's hard. And I could never, ever correlate that together. I could not figure out how it could be fun, how, you know, but it's not fun. But what it does is it takes your faith, and it, which is more precious than gold, and it refines it. It makes you strong. And lastly, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. I think these are verses that we can stand on. If he being God, if God rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. That's Lot in Sodom. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. God knows how to rescue godly men from trials. God knows how to pull you out of that storm. So I want to encourage you, just because you're going through a storm does not mean you sinned. If you've been searching your heart trying to figure out what sin you committed to create this storm, you didn't create one. Because if there's a sin that created it, it'll come to mind like that, and God will show you. If you're searching your heart to find out if there's any some advice or something that you've missed, and you can't think of any, you didn't create the storm, because God will bring it to your mind right away so you can repent and get rid of that. If you're going through a storm and those two things are not in your past that you can think of, then you're going through a storm that God put you in. And God has the power to get you through that storm. God has the power to create in you the character and the perseverance to get you through that storm. So I want to encourage you to, if you're going through a storm, and it's 11:45, how many are going through a storm? How many would like prayer? Can I do that, Pastor? How many would like prayer? If you would like, you know, I'll pray for you if you want to come up, or Pastor, somebody will pray for you if you want to come up. If not, that's fine. I just want you to know that God knows you're in that storm because he probably put you there. And God wants to produce the character and the faith that is way more precious than gold in his eyes, a faith that will not falter. When you've been through the storms and you've come out the other side, your faith is strengthened. The more storms you go through, the stronger your faith is going to be. We all have that measure of faith. We all go through those storms. If we run, if we cut and run from the storm, if we run to another place, if we say, that's it, I am leaving Prince Albert, I've had enough of this, I'm going to Saskatoon. You know what? That's running from the storm, most likely. And then you will go through the same thing in Saskatoon because you didn't make it through here. If you run away from a storm that God put you in, it is not going to do you any good. In fact, it'll probably be worse because you'll be out the money it took to move to Saskatoon. If you've gone through the storm, if you're going through a storm, and you want to cut and run and go somewhere else to another church or something, again, I mean, if God called you, God called you, and you can check with pastor and he can confirm that. But if you're running away from a storm that's here in this building with us, you're not going to get what God wants you to have. And I guess I'm being pretty blunt because I know we've gone through a storm. I think we're probably coming out the other side. But you know what? It ain't going to be the last storm, guys. You know, there will be a time where God will put us in a safe haven and we'll have some time that's nice and another storm will show up. Because God will want our faith stronger and stronger and stronger. So from what I can tell in the Bible, he does that through putting us in storms. So we will go through storm after storm. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But that is what happens. So I just, and I'm pretty much done. I just want to encourage you this morning that if you're going through a storm, hang in there. Just hang in there. Seek the Lord. Spend the time with God. If you're in the desert and you don't hear him and you think it's a waste of time, it ain't. God will lead you out of that desert. But you know what? When you walk through a desert physically, it looks exactly the same for hundreds of miles before you get out the other side. Okay? Just because you don't see yourself progressing doesn't mean you're not. And God will lead you out of that desert place if that's where you are. So be encouraged. Take heart. God is not against you. He may have put you in the storm, but he so much wants you at the other side. He's with you all the way. You know, when those guys were in that boat, tossed by contrary waves, the Bible says, which basically means really big ones, and Jesus is praying back on the land, they were not in any danger of dying, even though they thought they were. So if you're in a storm and it just seems like there is no answer, God will take you through that. God will show up on the water in the middle of that storm. And he'll call you out of the boat and he'll calm that storm. You know, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and it says he started to sink. Peter was in no danger of drowning when he started to sink. It is not a sin for your faith to falter because it's growing at that point. When kids learn how to walk, they fall and they get up. They walk, they fall, they get up. When we go through a storm, sometimes we do fall in that storm. Jesus will reach down and pull you out of that water, put you on top again, and help you. And you know what? Jesus didn't calm the storm when he pulled Peter out of the water. He didn't calm the storm until he had Peter back in the boat. You know, I really don't know how to end this other than to say I'm kind of done. But I just be encouraged. Because the storms are not bad, even though they seem like it.